So let me just begin. Let me start, but I want to start with some prayer. Can we just pray? Ready? Countdown to pray. 4, 3, 2, 1. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Be with us today. Lord, let us just be reminded about how awesome you are, how we can be courageous, and how you can always lift us up. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said as loud as they could. Amen. Hi-ya. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask my two volunteers, I asked to go get that big, giant white sheet, if they could get that right now. I want to just share something with you, that I just, how we want to kick things off this morning. And today we're talking about what it means, what it truly means, boys and girls, to be a courageous kid. See, there's many times in our life, and many times you just come into camp and you see all these boys and girls, you can actually just lean it. Actually, let's lean it up against the bikes up here. Can we do that? That'd be great. Give it up for our volunteers. Thank you, thank you. Just lean it up right straight, perfect, like that. That is wonderful. Great. It took a lot of effort, she says. Get off the stage. So what I'm saying is, boys and girls, sometimes when you come into a VBS like this, or even come up on stage, we seem very insignificant. We're kind of shy. We're withdrawn. We're like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure. I want to be a part of it, but I don't want to be a part of it. And then as we get older, we start to see, okay, life is actually bigger than we realize. I do make a difference. And you go through life and you go, oh, this is awesome. This is a great life. But if you were to actually take your life and the significance of it compared to everyone else in the world from when time began until whenever time is going to end, we seem kind of like from here to about here. And it kind of seems insignificant, doesn't it? See, if you were to represent this as how much space there is in the entire universe, and if you were to represent how much time there is from the beginning of time to end, we seem pretty insignificant, don't we? And we're like, how on earth am I going to be courageous if I'm that small? And I think it really takes three key things to make sure boys and girls, parents, grandparents, family, church family, to be courageous. And there was one man that questioned God on that, and that man was Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm insignificant." Moses was shown over and over that being courageous was only possible with God. See, boys and girls and church family, being courageous takes focus and how to stay focused. And so I know that sometimes when you're playing a video game, you can be incredibly focused, right? You'd be like, I am focused forever. I'm never letting go, right? Or maybe when you're watching a movie that you really like and you're like, I am so focused on this. Don't even talk. No one else talk. I'm in the zone. But when it comes to obeying God, sometimes our focus is, okay, God, I'll do. Oh, squirrel. Right? We do that so quickly. We take our focus off God. And there was a moment where Moses could have took his focus off God. See, in Exodus chapter 14, Moses had already led his people out of Egypt. He's walking out and he's like, this is it, I got them. I've been called by God. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to focus. I'm going to take my people. I'm not even going to turn around to look. And yet the Pharaoh's army was right around, right behind them, chasing after them. They get to the Red Sea and he stops there. And he could have easily said, all right, well, that's it. But he didn't. He kept his eyes focused on God. And the people complain. They're, Moses, what are we going to do? They're coming after us. And how are we going to get across this? And yet Moses kept his focus. He never wavered. It says, Moses, after they complained, Moses answered the people in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, don't be afraid. Stand firm. You will see how the Lord will save you today. Do you see those Egyptians? You will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. And in verse 31, the Israelites saw the amazing power the Lord showed against the Egyptians. So the Israelites had great respect for the Lord and put their trust in him. See, the waters parted. He grabbed the rod, put it into the water. The waters parted. And the people now had focus. They knew where to go. Moses never took his eyes off. Boys and girls, to be courageous means never taking your eyes off of what God has for your lives. See, we always need to be consistently focused on what God has. And there's moments where I know that when I was younger, I grew up, when I was 10, my dad passed away, and it was my mom and my three brothers, and there was four of us, and we didn't have a lot of money, and I would see my mom all the time. We would walk through the bike path or bike through the bike path, and we would be there, and we wouldn't have a lot of money, but my mom would see teenagers all hanging out. And she would actively go up to them and say, "Hey, can I just tell you about Jesus? Can I just tell you how much Jesus loves you?" And they'd kind of be stunned. They wouldn't, and it was amazing because I think she had such a quiet spirit that they were always, this happened many times. I had to watch this and go, "What is going on with my mom? My mom's crazy." Because I was just a little kid, right? I was like, "Why are they talking to teenagers?" But then she would say, "Can I just bless you? Here's $20. Go get a drink. Go get some food. Just hang out. Just want to know that God loves you." And she would walk away. And she'd come back with a big smile on her face. I'd be like, "Mom, really? I could use that $20? Well, you give it to some teenagers?" I was only like 7 or 8. But my mom would always respond, "No. See, they need it more than we do. They don't know who Jesus is." She kept her eyes focused at all times. Speaking of focus, there was also this little boy at kids camp at Lakeshore in Coburg this year. And 2 years ago, he had rheumatoid arthritis and he was dealing with that. He wasn't even able to walk. He was in a wheelchair. And he kept, and I remember his prayer was, "I gotta keep my eyes focused on Jesus. I gotta focus on God because God will be my strength." And see, during that week, it was all about racing. We had all these races. We actually had these amazing pedal cars that you could actually pedal, and we would time all their times. And we actually had 125 kids. And out of those, all those times, we picked the four top people. He was in there. Okay? This is the kid that couldn't walk 2 years ago. So then we have the race, and we start the race, and he, by far, defeats everyone. He comes across, and there's people in tears. His mom is in tears. Our director is in tears because they saw the power of God. When you keep your eyes focused on him and on the prize, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Does that mean we have to get up and walk? Then yes, it does. That means our focus is going to be on God. God kept his eyes focused, and we got to celebrate with him. And we just were reminding him, like, how awesome is our God? How awesome is our God? See, the second thing, boys and girls, that we need to keep staying courageous is to never have fear. It's being fearless. Can we say fearless? Ready? 3, 2, 1. Fearless. There was a moment in my life where I was pretty afraid, but I was also kind of excited too. My brother asked me if I wanted to go skydiving. And I said, "Yeah, that's on my list of things to do in my lifetime, in my small little lifetime." And it was incredible. You get into this rickety old plane, so it sounds great already, right? And you go inside and you sit down and you're all squished together with like 10 other people, and you look around the plane and you see duct tape holding the plane together, and you're like, "Oh, I'm great. This is gonna be awesome," right? So, and then it starts shaking and you're like going up, and then you are starting to elevate and elevate, and then the guy turned to me and said, "Oh yeah, we're about halfway there." And I'm like, "Halfway there? I thought we were ready to jump. This is crazy." And we went up to about 15,000 feet, and then the door opens, and all I hear is, and you see the people in front of you, you're like, "I am so glad it's not me first," and you see them just like, I just jumping out, right? I'm like, And my heart's racing. I'm like, oh, I really want to do this, but I'm freaking out right now. This is amazing, but I can't handle this, right? And you kind of scooch closer and scooch closer. The scariest part, they go, all right. So he moves you over, you get one knee down, and I'm looking out into the abyss of the world. And then he goes, 3, 2, 1, and you literally just roll right out. And thankfully I had a dude that was attached to me that kind of walked me through everything, that in case the parachute didn't work, I'd just spin myself so it landed. No, I'm kidding, I'm just joking. Safe landing. And so I jumped down, and it was awesome. What an incredible experience. You don't hear anything for the first 30 seconds, and then you just see his hands going like this, and you pull the chute, and it's like, ooh, this big tug, and you're like, oh, it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, everything starts to settle, and you can see everything. And you could see how gorgeous God made this world. And it's just breathtaking. I didn't have any breath, but it was still breathtaking. And then we started doing a few tricks, and at this point I'm like, ain't nothing to be afraid. I'm not afraid of anything now. I'm like, bring it at me, I don't care what it is. And so we're trying to, you know, steer, and he's letting me steer, and he's like, hey, want to go through that cloud? I'm like, yes, I do. And so there was a hole in this cloud that was going by, and he just spun us around. We actually went right through a cloud. Incredible experience. We'll do it next week. How about that, everyone? No? Okay. next year's VBS, skydiving. At another church. But at some point, there had to be this little bit in me that I could have either jumped or not jumped, but I had to keep staying fearless. I was saying, no, God will protect me. God will hold on to me, and God better have a parachute on my back. And just like Moses, he had this moment in his life where he had to face a giant group of people. See, the Amalekites were going after him. I need a volunteer this morning. Adam, you can come on up, buddy. Let's give it up for Adam. Come on up here, sir. How are you?
Good.
Awesome. You ready to be Moses?
Yes.
There you go. Moses, everyone. Yay, Moses! See, in Exodus chapter 17, Moses was walking with his people, and they knew the Amalekites were coming to attack. Now remember, Joshua and the people that they had that had been traveling, they were not built for war. So they were going against an army that was already trained up. They probably had all the armor and all the things that are ready to go, and Moses stays fearless. He says to all of them, right here, in verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men, then go out and fight against the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill. I'll stand there holding the walking stick God gave me. So Joshua goes out to fight the Amalekites. And Moses goes to the top of the hill. And he raises the stick up, both hands, there you go. And you can hold it like this and make it look powerful. There you go. And Joshua and his team are winning the battle, and he's like, Moses is like, yeah, this is great. Thank you, God, for keeping me fearless and showing them how not to be fearless, because I'm praying for them through this whole time. As my arms are up, I am praying that God is going to win the battle. But then after a while, Joshua likes to take his time and fight, and Moses' arms begin to get tired. And they kind of waver, and he's like, oh, no, you know what? I'll try sitting down. How about that? And so they put him on a rock, and he's kind of having his arms still up, and he's trying his best, and Joshua begins to lose the battle. See, I could imagine as they're fighting, they're like, this is, yes, God is for us. Who can be against us? And they look at Moses, and now he's faltering. So now their hearts are faltering. And they start losing this battle. But then, I need two more volunteers. No parents? Georgia, you can come on up. And Phoenix, you can come on up. So it says that Aaron and her, come on up, her, Aaron. It says that they then, because they knew that as long as his arms were up, Joshua was going to win the fight. So that what they did is they lifted his arms up, not the staff, they lifted his arms up and they supported him and they held it there until Joshua won the battle. See, Moses wanted to continue to stay fearless. He didn't go, oh, my arms are tired, toss it, see you later. We're not going to win. Retreat, everybody retreat. He was determined to do whatever it took, and his people came beside him. They said, we're going to do whatever it takes to be fearless because we believe that it was not by accident that we exited Egypt. It was not by accident that the Amalekites are coming at us. It is not by accident that we are going to lose, but we are going to win, and we are going to win big, and we're going to win with God. And so they held his arms up, and it says that day they won the battle. They won the battle. Give it up for these three volunteers. You guys are awesome. You can grab a seat. Come and see me after. I'll give you a ring pop. After. See, Moses had to pray, Joshua had to fight, and I believe both were equal services to the Lord because that's how they prevailed. See, some of us are called to pray and be fearless in our prayers, and some of us are called to action and to do the many things. And even though we get tired and we might get discouraged and we might be like very sweaty, we still prevail. See, even yesterday, I could have been just like, no, I'm going to shut out everything that's going on. But I still got a call that there was an event still going on in the gym, and the gym was still a big mess. And I was like, no, God's going to cover that, and I'm a doer. So I went in, cleaned the whole thing in a couple hours, and I was like, nope, this isn't going to sway me from what God is going to do. I'm not going to be exhausted because I know that this is all God's work. And see, I'm going to keep prevailing. I'm going to keep going. And just like our courageous kids learned this week, trust in the Lord forever. The Lord himself is the? And then the Lord will keep us safe? That's right. Good job, guys. And he will keep us safe because of a promise. And that promise is where the most important part comes in. And the third, the last thing, boys and girls, you got to be fearless. You got to have faith. And this is where it is. This is the faith part, okay? In order to have faith, you have to have a promise to back up that faith. It must be heard from the Word of God. And see, there was a promise that I made, even to my wife. A promise to love forever as we are on earth, to do whatever it takes to make sure that our marriage stays strong no matter what issues, what situations we face. And see, in the only way that faith can, or that promise can be fulfilled is if I stay faithful to her and she stays faithful to me. And once that promise is broken, we kind of lose our faith, don't we? But the amazing thing is, as we might fall, God's promises never do. See, and that's the faith that Moses had. In Exodus chapter 3, says, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God promised this to Moses, and Moses held on to that promise until the Israelites could finally fulfill that, and they finally made it into the promised land. It would have been amazing to see Moses' face as they entered, to know that through all the many journeys and all the fighting and all the bickering and all the suffering that they went through, that he got to see the promise fulfilled. He got to see his people go into the promised land because of the promises of God that never gave up. And see, so now we look at us today and say, well, what did God promise us? What did God promise us? And we know that through Jesus. See, it wasn't one staff, but it was one and then another staff that became a cross. And we knew that Jesus died for our sins. Jesus took on all our sins and said, I'm going to make a promise and I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will take whatever you have in your life that is evil, I will remove it so you can live a life fully devoted to God and you can get a gift, and that gift is eternal life. I will give that to you. I will never break that promise. And he gives that to each and every one of us, boys and girls. He says, hey, it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you mess up once, twice, 17 times. God says, if you follow me, if you love me, stay devoted to me, that promise will never go away. So boys and girls, we need to have faith. We need to have faith that's everlasting. That we need to continue to look at so many times where we can say that, oh, it's not going to be okay, but really it is going to be okay. And that's why God's given us this Bible. Boys and girls, that's why he's given us the Word of God. It's not meant just to hear some cool stories, even though there are many cool stories. It's meant to prepare us to go through the same situations and go, God prevailed. God prevailed. Yeah, God still prevailed. God won this one, that one. Jesus won, won. Well, let's check the very end of the book. Yep, still won. Promise fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be much longer today, guys, but our focus needs to be on the Word. See, on situations where we can just keep going and stay unfocused, and we've talked about that, I want you to make sure, boys and girls, you stay focused on Jesus' love. There'll be many times where you're going to face times like in high school, in college, until when you're building your career, you're going to say, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus here? Where's Jesus there? And if you stay focused on him, he'll reveal himself over and over again. See, we still need to be fearless. We need to remember that we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, that when we are challenged, when we are afraid and we're not ready to go on, he is always there to comfort us. He is always there. There's been a moment in my life where I knew my life was in danger. I don't want to go into details, but I knew my life was in danger. And immediately, scripture verses came to my mind. It wasn't me getting my back up, ready to fight. It wasn't me kind of trying to decide through this whole situation of how to deal with it. It was scripture that was just bursting out of me. And then I heard God say, just pray, just pray, just pray. I will take care of you. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. And he did. I'm still here. See, and our faith should always stay in Jesus Christ. I want to share something with you this morning that I don't think many of you, some of you know, but last Christmas, the Christmas Eve service was probably the hardest Christmas Eve service I've ever been at. And you probably wouldn't think it. We were doing our thing. We were doing all our Christmas production, and it was great. The second service, I went back to my seat, and Jen's a few rows back, and she looks at me, and she's like, Juliana's not eating. See, our baby was born November 28th, and she wasn't doing great. She wasn't feeding. She was looking paler and paler. And so we get home from the services, we get home, we're like, okay, let's call telehealth, let's start there. They said it's gonna be an hour, but by then she wasn't even waking up. I was trying to blow in her face to wake her up, and then she'd go right back to sleep, and she was looking even more paler. So Jen's like, no, I'm just gonna take her right to the hospital. She just took her right there, and they said as soon as she got there, they knew exactly what it was, and they had to hook her up. They put tubes all in her. She's 3 weeks old. and they had to put all the different tubes in, and she caught a respiratory virus, which is surprisingly common in that time frame of the year, in the wintertime. And see, I could have stopped and could have just lost it and said, God, where are you with this? And I don't care about this. And I could have got angry and could have got upset. But I needed God to say, I needed to be reminded. I needed God to say, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And it was hard for the next 2 weeks. She was in that from, she came out January 2nd. So we didn't have Christmas. We didn't have New Year's. We had to spend that time switching back and forth. Jen would stay overnight with Juliana, and then during the day, I would switch and be with her during the day, and then we'd switch back because we had Asher, and Asher wasn't even allowed in there. It was incredibly hard. As any parent would know, that your baby's sick, it's your whole focus on that. And it's hard to focus on God. It's hard to focus on those other things because you're like, please, God, let nothing happen to her. And there was one day, I'm driving to the hospital. I'm like, God, give me something. Let me know that she's going to be okay. I can't lose her. It's too soon. And I'm driving down Innes, and all of a sudden, it's coming around the corner, and it's almost as if the heavens opened up. And the sunbeam was coming down. It almost looked like a hand was touching the ground. The sunbeams were so strong. And it was like God saying, I got this whole world in my hands. So how much more am I going to love you? I'm going to love you so much. And so we get to the hospital and we have the rest of our day. And it was just kind of overwhelming for me. And then the next morning, around 10 o'clock, I get a call from Rick. And he says, Jordan, I just got to share something with you. I'm like, okay. And so we kind of talked about how Juliana's doing. And he said, I was having a nap, and it woke me up because God showed me something. And I said, okay, I'm ready to hear. And he said, it was like angels surrounding Juliana's bedside. And it was like God's hand then came down. His hand came down and touched her, knowing that it was going to be okay. See, our God, when we go through the things that we want to focus on, things that we need to have faith on, things that we need to be fearless on, if we aren't focused on God, if we aren't having that love of God regularly in our lives, then we will miss the mark. We will show our insignificance. We won't show God's power. We will show our lack of power. God wants more from us. See, the reality is that in this huge, immense, huge space and huge time, forget those two words and think this is how much God surrounds us. See, he sees how insignificant you are, and he says, I am going to be in front of you. I am going to be behind you. I am going to be beside you. I will be with you. I will surround you and protect you and love you the best I can because I made you, I created you, and I love you. You never have to worry. You can always be, yeah. Boys and girls, my prayer today is that you become courageous kids. And I know we talked about it, and we've talked about it all week, and we've seen the moment where boys and girls came to the front to accept Jesus, and there must have been over 50, 60 kids, and in incredible moments. But boys and girls, I want to do something just very simple this morning. If you can say to me, Pastor Jordan, I am that courageous because I have God with me. If you can say, Pastor Jordan, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm ready to keep my focus on Jesus. I'm ready to be fearless. And I'm ready to have the faith it takes to be a courageous kid, not just in my prayers, not just in reading my word, but also out there when the enemy attacks and he thinks he's bigger. I know that I am courageous enough to defeat him. As Moses defeated the Amalekites and as he showed over and over again, we will win and be victorious. I am a courageous kid. If that's you, boys and girls, if you can say, Pastor Jordan, I'm a courageous kid, I want you to come to the front. I want you to stand for Jesus. I want you to come right up to the front if that's you. You can say, yeah, Pastor Jordan, I'm a courageous kid. I'm going to do those things. I'm going to stay focused on you. Is there anyone else? Any other boys and girls? I want you just to spread out a little bit because we're going to add a little something to this. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. Thank you, Lord. So guys, I want you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to spread right out. Spread out so there's no one behind you, okay? Can you do that? Parents, grandparents, family here, look around. You have some amazing boys and girls. And see, you'll notice many times that they'll be involved in worship and they're jumping up and down, they're praising God and they're praying out loud and they're doing these amazing things. But you know and I know that there's gonna be moments where their focus will stray. You know that there'll be moments where they're gonna be afraid. You know there are moments where the faith is not gonna be as strong. And I can't do it alone. The pastors here can't do it alone. We need you. You are their Aaron and her. You are their support. You are there to remind them how much the love of Jesus needs to be evident because you need to be living that life as well. See, it's so evident when we see boys and girls coming up here, but it's not just about that. See, I think we need to have families here together. I think these courageous kids, they know that they have some incredible support. And here's what I want to do this morning. Parents or grandparents, whoever brought these amazing kids this morning, here's what I want to do. Boys and girls, I want you to lift your arms like this. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to start praying to God, saying, God, I love you. Just raise your arms like this. Say, God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, you're amazing. Thank you for making me courageous. See, parents, as their arms are up, they're going to get tired. They need help. They need to keep fighting the good fight. They need to know that you're supporting them. They need to know that you're around them. They need to know that you're surrounding them with your love. So here's what I want you to do. If you see your child here, I want you to come behind them and hold their arms up. Sometimes kids need to know that they have the support and love from their mom and dad, not just by saying it, but by doing it. So here's why, as you can come, find your child, and I just want you to hold their arms up. If you're both there, you can hold one arm up, hold the other one up. Boys and girls, don't give up. Keep those arms up. Keep them up nice and high. Wait for your parent. They're gonna hold your arms up. They're gonna help you. So when you get tired, they're there to support you. They're there to love you. Just as Jesus loves us. They're a physical reminder of how big our God is. That we're not alone in this, boys and girls. That we are courageous because we have some courageous parents. And we have some courageous grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. And we are so thankful that we can do this, not just by ourselves. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna pray right now. Keep your arms up, boys and girls. Don't waver. I know it's gonna get tiring. Parents, hold them up nice and high. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for these amazing, courageous kids. And Lord, thank you that you just show us over and over again through your word that you are just loving us with everything you got. Lord, I pray today that these boys and girls go away knowing how what it takes to be courageous, knowing what it takes to fight the good fight, knowing what it takes that when they can step into a situation and they know that there's good against evil, good will always prevail. And God, I pray that as these boys and girls get older, I pray their love for Jesus increases. I pray every day that their love for you, God, is just immense. It's incredible. And Lord, I pray that these boys and girls, I'm not just saying that they're gonna become world changers. I pray that they become world changers in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for this incredible week. Thank you so much for this Sunday. And thank you so much for these courageous kids. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Yeah. Boys and girls, you can grab a seat. Thank you so much. So boys and girls, as you head back to your seats, I will just let you know that the video will be uploaded and put on our website where you registered on Monday, okay? It'll be up there. Check it out on Monday. You can see how it ended. I apologize for anything that might have come. Can I just, before we close, can I invite Rick? Talked to me beforehand and just said there was something just on his heart for about a month. And I just want to close with this after he's said what you need to say. I'll close in prayer and we can dismiss today.
Well, praise God. I really am impressed with God's consistency in our lives. And about a month ago, the Lord just put a whole bunch of scriptures in me about children. I still have children, but they're like adults, you know. And I've got 5 grandchildren now. And I remember back quite a while ago when we heard that Jordan and Jen were coming here, Flo and I began to pray about their ministry here. We knew that they belonged here. We knew that this is the place where God wanted them to be. And so we had prayed about that. And then just about a month ago, the Lord actually gave me this dream. It was about 2:30 in the morning. He's very consistent about that. He's got a really good sense of humor. He always wakes me up at 2:30 in the morning to tell me about this stuff. He's really good at that. And anyway, there was this dream. And it was here at the church. Pastor Jordan, Jen were here. And the kids were all here, my grandkids included, my 3 granddaughters that are here in Ottawa. And I was here, parents were here, grandparents were here on their knees. And the kids were laying hands on the parents and the grandparents and praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit. And God's presence was so incredible. There was like this cloud over this place.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was so heavy. And the children in that childlike faith that we all have to have, we're praying and laying hands, and my granddaughters were laying hands on me. I was crying. My wife was here. We were kneeling. We were crying together and praying. And the Lord said, this is where I'm taking you. This is where we are going to be. And I thought, I was worldly thinking, not kingdom thinking. I'm thinking, another 10 years, this is what's going to happen. But the Lord said, look at the children. Look at your granddaughters. This is where they are now. This is a prophetic word. This is a promise from God. I love what Pastor Jordan just said. We need to hold up our children's arms. They walk and march to the beat of a different drum. You heard them. This is the truth. This is a truth. And I'm telling you, God has made this promise to us. It is going to be incredible. He's taking these kids to a whole new level, and it's going to take you and I to another place. It is going to be amazing. It's a word from God. It's a promise. Let's put it in our hearts and keep it. Amen?
Awesome. Awesome. Let me just close in prayer, and then we can be dismissed for today. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate all the prayers that have gone into making this happen from the start of the week to the end of the week. We are so blessed to have a church family like you guys. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much again for who you are. Lord, I pray as we leave this building, God, Let the church continue to flourish. Let us continue to have conversations. Let us have opportunities to share your love, God. And Lord, let it just bring us joy and the joy everlasting, God. And Lord, I thank you for how we are going to affect Orleans and how we are going to affect Ottawa, God. And Lord, I pray that we are just doing incredible things, that not just in this building, God, but out there. Lord, let us be a church that just expands and expands for your kingdom, for your glory, and for your honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Have a wonderful day. God bless you guys.